Well, so what I got a question. What was it like growing up with twins, having siblings that were identical twins
Oh
or
man, you
close
get,
to?
yeah, I'm 2.5 years older than them, and you got to have your head on a swivel with guys like that. They're always getting into trouble and mischief and trying to make your life difficult and just, messing around and playing with dangerous stuff. So yeah, it was a great joy. We're best friends. I love my brothers, and they those two, when they're separated, they're just like anybody else. But when they're together, it's like the energy is magnified by about 10, and they egg each other on, and they can communicate without talking. And it's a handful, but a great joy to be around them.
Well, and they're extreme sport guys, so that
Yeah,
must
they're
be
extreme
crazy
sport
that.
guys. They tried to drag me into that. I was climbing mountains with them for about the first 5 years of their career. And we went up to climb Mount Logan in Canada, and that's right on the ocean. It's 17,000 feet, so it's not one of the highest mountains in the world, but it has one of the most it's a mountain with some of the most relief from base camp to the top, because you're looking at the top from about 1,000 feet above sea level. So you're looking at 16,000 vertical feet right in front of you. So it's a big mountain, and it's got nasty weather that brews up out of the Gulf of Alaska. And I had done a few other trips with those guys. I did Denali and Mount Rainier, and we've done a lot of the 14ers around here and whatnot. But we got up on that mountain, and we got stuck in an 8-day storm, and you couldn't leave the tent for anything. I mean, not to relieve yourself, nothing. It was just that wild, 100-mile-an-hour winds. We were
Wow.
it, the snow was just burying the tent in a drift as the days went on. We were sleeping on top of our gear because there was no room. It was as bad as I could have ever imagined, and that was my last trip. The weather cleared, we scooted to the top, and I proposed to my wife from the top, and I told those
That's
guys, I
cool.
said, I'm done. This is my last trip.
Swan song. Did you ever talk to Cameron Burns about his experience on Fitzroy and Patagonia?
No, I haven't. And Mike and Cam are good friends, but I don't know
Yeah.
Cam, so I don't know him well enough to have heard
He
his stories.
has a similar story, but the only difference was is that instead of a week, it was like I want to say a month or like I mean they had to wait for a clearing for weeks.
Yeah.
It's just yeah, that's too extreme for me, man.
Oh, it's terrible. I thought I was going to go crazy. It really, I mean, it felt like a year. I was thinking I'd rather be in prison than this. You can't stretch out. You can't stand up. You gotta go to the bathroom. You gotta do it in front of your two tent mates in a bag. It's awful. It's awful.
No secrets. I take
No
it
secrets.
around.
Absolutely no secrets. Yeah. No, it's terrible.
It's all about survival at that point.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about it is I think that's the point when my brothers fell in love with the sport.
It takes a different breed, doesn't
Yes,
it?
absolutely.
Yeah, I seem to remember, Peter McBride got into
Oh,
doing
yeah. Yeah.
it. Was Travis Moore and I remember Todd Stone and Craig Melville were into
Oh,
that
yeah. Oh,
really.
every, you know, so many people try it around here, and it sticks with some, and then the smart people go do something else.
They did an Outward Bound trip like that too. I think my brother went mountaineering 1 year for the same kind of thing. I think that's maybe where a lot of those guys caught the bug,
Yeah. Well, the outdoor ed program, like Andy just mentioned, that got a lot of us hooked. At least it made us want to try it. I mean, it was just 8th grade outdoor ed in particular gives you a little exposure to rock climbing and rappelling and the solo. You're kind of out by yourself, and so you get that sense of self-sufficiency, and it builds a lot of confidence, and you're staring at the mountains for a week up there and having a lot of fun. So I think that's a great program. It just makes people aware of what's out there.
Was that the
You know,
Marble
it's
one?
one of those programs that people who are not from there have disbelief when you tell them you did it, And Yeah.
it's just like, rappelling over Lizard Lake up by Marble and doing the solo where, one kid saw a bear, you know, another kid had to, you know, be hostage, you know, yeah. be dragged out of there to the doctor and all, you know, all this stuff. It's like,
Ty Bear heard someone commit suicide. Oh. Yeah, it was on the other side of the lake on the other.
Oh, geez.
He had no idea, he heard some noises, freaked out, was kind of by himself, and then later on checked it out and was like, oh my God.
Oh gosh. Wow, that's grim. I never heard that story.
Yeah, we'll have to get him to talk about it.
Jeez, yeah, wow. Well, it's you know, there after 9/11 in the early 2000s, there was a big move into the area, you know, families wanting to get mm-hmm. out of the cities. And I remember up at the school district, we really had to convince those people because they heard about the outdoor ed programs and experiential ed programs. And their basic attitude was, you know, I'm not sending my kids to school to learn how to camp. And so we had to educate those people and tell them, this is way more than camping. This is the one thing that kids who grow up in Aspen and they go to school, this is the one thing they remember forever.
Well, you know, it's funny because you're talking about the difference between, you know, in the 70s, 76 and 77 was that big influx where people like me and a bunch of other folks came in that sort of mid to late yep. 70s. And it was real quick, real fast, and it grew and then it stopped for a little while.
Yeah, but
this was like another spurt. And it's funny because that generation dove right in. We camped right.
Yes.
Like Folgers, Billy can filled it up. You know, I mean, it was like.
Yeah. Well, that's. Right
for it. And then later on in 2000, it sounds like they're kind of a little hesitant about joining right in. It's
because it's you're exactly right, because all the people, all the teachers who started that program came in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, like Flynn and Frank Beer and Bernie Posbeck and, you know, Willard Clapper. Who am I forgetting? Griff Smith.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave someone off the list, and they're going to listen to this. And they're going to be really mad at me. But you know, but you get the idea. It's that group. It's that group that started that program, and so you showed up at just the right time. And people came here. They were only running from society at that point. They weren't running from terrorists. They weren't running from COVID. They were just coming here because it offered them something very different and appealing. That they couldn't find anywhere else, and they didn't come out here out of fear. They came here because it was just something spectacular.
Yep.